I got to go to Lisa's group on this week. I can't remember what night it was, maybe Wednesday night and or probably Tuesday night. And I got to hear her group talk about how much, and they said this with tears streaming down their face, how much they love Lisa and they love Craig, their small group leaders. Because Lisa truly did make God a priority. It meant some very specific things, and her community, her small group, was one of those things. She talked about it there, making people in those relationships. And what I felt in the room when everyone was talking about how thankful she was for making them a priority, I felt joy. I felt this kind of connectedness that was like, oh, with, you know, the intangible, oh, this is why we do what we do, to get people in relationship with God, to get people in relationship with one another, and to walk through the hills and valleys of life and to experience that type of love and that joy that comes from that type of commitment that she's made to those people. That is super, super cool. Speaking of commitment, over two years ago, I started CrossFit, and I got in there and it just kicked my butt. And I got to tell you, for like 12 months, every single night I was on, you know, ibuprofen, and I just like was in so much pain, and I would wake up 2 days later and I just kind of like crawl to the bathroom in the middle of the night. It was so difficult, but I loved it so much, and it challenged me. That type of exercising was so cool, and there's a community aspect to it that I was like, man, I just want to be a part of this. And then a year into it, almost a year ago, was the first time for some reason that we did the rope climb. And I walked in there and I was like, oh man, I can't climb a rope. I've never done that before. And for me, like my weakest muscle group is my back, and daddy's got a big butt. I don't know if you've ever noticed I got a big butt. So like I got to carry that butt around, and for me to do pull-ups and to pull up a rope is like, dang, baby, this thing weighs a lot. And it's just tough for me. Like, it's just always difficult for me to actually do pull-ups and stuff like that. But I watched all these like amazing guys and girls do the rope climb, and they're just like climbing the rope, and they go up like literally like twice the size of this truss, and they climb all the way up, and then they smack the truss at the top, and then they go down and they're like, yeah, do the rope climb. And I'm like, man, I want to be that guy. I want to climb a rope. And when I first started doing it, I couldn't do it. And it just would wear me out. So I'm gonna climb this rope today because I've learned how to do it. But like, when I first looked at the rope, it was like, there's no way I can do this. And my instructor was like, man, if you're gonna do this, you have to commit to the skill of it. Like, you have to understand the steps of it. Because a lot of people just come in and then they start using their hands, and they're using their hands, and it's really hard. And when I did that, it would just wear me out. I would just get completely wasted. I'd be like, oh man, I'm tired. He's like, if you're gonna come in and you're gonna learn to rope climb, if you really wanna be able to get to the top and you wanna smack the truss and you wanna be cool like the rest of us, he didn't say that, but that's what it sounded like. You wanna be cool like the rest of us, then you've got to make climbing this rope a priority. And for you to do it, Joel, like if you do all the other exercise and then practice rope, by the time you get to the rope, you'll be so worn out that you won't be able to do it. So you gotta come in and you gotta practice, and you gotta put your first effort towards the rope, and you gotta put your best effort towards the rope. And then you gotta learn the skill. And so, all of that combined, I was like, I want to be someone that gets the joy of reaching to the top and being a person that can climb a rope and move this big old booty around. Like, that's what I was like, I want to do that. So I learned that really the rope is all about the feet. See? I'm not even using my hands. Ooh, whoa. But that's what you do. You just do this little thing with your feet and cinch, and then you go up. Oh, Billy, I could just work this rope. I mean, I'm just really feeling this rope. That's what the rope is all about. Like, and at first, it wore me out because I'm like jumping on this thing, and I'm like, and by the time I finally actually get it, I'd be tired. But now I got a lot more endurance. So I can just kind of just go like this. I'll see you guys later.
I'm all the way up here in the rafters. And there's really nothing. There's really nothing quite like taking it to the roof. It's the best. I need to take a drink of water. We did that like 21 times on Monday. Man. I put a little more in to this one than last service. Just gonna do some spidey lunges. Hold on. Just gotta work it out. Oh. Okay. What I learned is that for me to rope climb, I have to put my first and I have to put my best effort in. And when I put my first and my best towards it, then I get the payoff of that success, of that joy of making it to the top. You know, the picture that we have of Jesus giving his life for us, we call that a sacrifice. And a lot of times we view sacrifice as the pain that it takes to achieve something. When I do rope climb, every time I would do it, I would skin my shin. And still just then, coming down, I skin it. I'll come home from a workout with a lot of rope climb and my shin will be bleeding. And, you know, at the first I was kind of like, you know, it's worth it, man. I'm climbing rope, man. I'm a real man. I got some blood on my sock. I'm a man, a real man. But I realized that is not the sacrifice. Like, yeah, that hurts. That hurts a little bit. But the sacrifice to climb a rope is not really about the pain that I have when I go and do it. Sacrifice is about what you put first and what is most important and your best effort. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he was the model of sacrifice. He was the picture of sacrifice. And yes, he went through a lot of pain. But the way that he went through pain does not compare to the joy that he experienced by saying, I'll go through any type of pain, but I'm going to put you guys first. Do you understand? Jesus went to the cross because sin separated us from God. And we were in desperate need. And so God said, I will die for your sins. And the only thing that was good enough to die for our sins was God, or God's Son, who is the one and only Son, and the best, the perfect, holy God in the flesh, the man Jesus Christ. So the sacrifice is not that he got hurt. The sacrifice is that God gave his best. He put forth his best effort. He made you and me a priority so that we could end up at the top with God and experience joy with him. And experience joy with those around us. Someone in the New Testament says it like this. It says we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the example of sacrifice, the perfect man, who is the pioneer, the first, and the perfecter, the best of faith. Who, for what? Why did he make us first and best? For joy. Who for the joy set before him, he went through some pain. Now, I know it was excruciating pain, but do you understand to God, the day of death and pain was nothing compared to how much he loves us and wants us to know how much we are loved? That he said, I'll take the cross, I'll take the pain for the joy. They are so important to me. I love them so much. I'm going to give the first and I'm going to give the best to them. Because I can't wait to be with them. So yeah, I'll sacrifice. Because ultimately, I'm going to sit down at the throne of God. And when I sit at the throne of God and I'm in heaven, I want the people of God to be around me. And the only way that the avenue can be made for people to come and sit with me and God in heaven is if I die and I give myself and I make them a priority. That's why. The sacrifice is not the pain. The sacrifice is that God is perfect and he gave himself for us. He didn't figure something else out. He didn't cut corners. He gave himself the first, the best, the Son of God. You see, what God is doing is he is asking us in our finances to sacrifice. You see, we might have to sacrifice in order to be obedient. Last week, I talked about being obedient to God and how, man, if your heart is for God, then you're going to do what he says. He said, if you love me, obey my commands. So if your heart is there in the right place, then that means it's going to be shown and fleshed out through obedience. And one of the things that God is asking us to do is to give, and to give 10%. The step that some of us have to take that we haven't taken yet in order to be obedient is to understand that we're going to have to sacrifice. And when I say sacrifice, I don't mean that the goal is to cut things out of your life and to experience pain and to hurt yourself financially and your situation financially in order to follow God. That's not the heart of it. That's not the aim of it. Sacrifice, by definition, in the scriptures, is the first and the best. You see, in the Old Testament, when God commanded the people of Israel to sacrifice, to have the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the people, he said, go and get the first lamb, your best lamb. Give that first so that it dies to wash away the sins of you people. He said, that's your priority. That's the most important piece. So you are going to show me that I am your priority by you trusting me and giving your first and your best. And after you give your first and your best, then the rest God will take care of. And what so many of us think is, oh, I'm going to give to God at the end. I'm going to have other priorities. I'm going to put my health first. I'm going to put my kids first. I'm going to put my mortgage first. And whatever we pay for first is, in fact, our financial priority. And God is trying to simply shape our minds and our hearts to say, if I'm number one, then you will give me your finances, the first part and the best part. You understand, this is all throughout the text. When Cain and Abel get in trouble, when God says, oh, you did this and you did this, one gave his first and his best. The other one didn't. God wasn't upset with the amount. He was upset with Cain's heart. He withheld. He didn't make God a priority. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, whom was promised, God is teaching all of us through that story. Give your first, give your best, trust me with the rest. Give your first, give your best, trust me with the rest. And that's why Abraham is such a beautiful story of faith and obedience. Go sacrifice your firstborn son, the one you promised me. He goes up and does it, and then God actually stops him from doing it because he just wanted to see that he was willing, that he wanted to see that God was his priority. Is God your priority? If God is your priority, then you will sacrifice to him financially. You will give him, between you and him, your first and your best. In order to gain a new priority, sometimes we need a new perspective. You see, I know a lot of us are sitting there going, Joel, man, I cannot afford to give God my first and my best. And some of us are sitting here going, when God gives me more and I have enough, then I'll put him first. And some of us sit here and go, Joe, I've always made this a priority and I've always made this a priority, but to make God a priority is going to steal from all this. And I don't have enough money to make God my priority. I'm going to share something with you today that I believe will shift your perspective so you can make God your number one financial priority. And I'm going to put a number up here. And this number, this is all of us in the room. This number represents me, it represents you, it represents all of us who are, I would say, out of college and have a full-time job. Now, if you're just working out of college, you might not be in this number, you might be in the top 10% or the top 6%. But do you realize that if your household income is over $30,000 a year, that you are in the top 4% in the world? You know that? You know that if you make that and that comes in, you are the wealthy of the wealthiest. You are so rich. And I would say, knowing what I know about the average income in this area, in Gahanna, in Johnstown, in New Albany, in Worthington, in Dublin, in most of our suburban worlds that we live in, I would say that most of us are in this. And Andy Stanley has a book called Be Rich that unpacks this principle. It teaches that so many of us live our lives trying to get rich in America. And I talked a little bit about that last week. God, you know, I make $50,000 a year, and when I make $75,000 a year, then I'll make you a priority. And what he says is you need not just a new priority, you need a new perspective. You see, in America, we don't have a resource problem. We have a priority problem. We have a perspective problem. It's not about resources. It's not about you going, man, I'm waiting for my ship to come in and then I'll give to you. God's like, your ship is in. You live in America in 2015, even those of us that struggle financially, and I know that there's some of us in the room, God is saying, you live in the most successful, wealthy season in the history of the world, in the most successful, wealthy country in the history of the world. And you're waiting for more. And God's going, come on, you have it. It's not whether you have it or not. You have it. It's how do you dice up what God has given to you? Do you take what he's given to you? And are you faithful with it? Do you sacrifice to God? Do you make him the first and the best? What is the first and the best? What is your priority? That's the question that God is asking every single one of us. Where he says, for the joy set before me, I made you first. I made you best. I gave you everything I could. And I endured the cross so that I could experience joy in a relationship with you. See, a lot of times I think we view our finances as what's this kind of thing we're going to miss out on. And that's the sacrifice, the thing we're going to give up. And what God has said to me, and as I've learned and I'm growing, is that it's not about what I'm going to give up. It's about what I'm giving to first. That's my sacrifice. That's my priority. Sacrifice is more about what you give than what you don't get. Could our perspectives change? Could we say, you know what? I have the resources. I'm going to do what God says to do with those resources. God asks every single one of us to trust him. Week one, take a big step of faith. Trust me like you never have before. Why? Because of the life change that takes place. Week two, people's lives get changed for eternity and for every single day when you believe and follow God with big faith. Week three, I am asking you, if you love me, to obey my commands. And one of the many things I'm asking you to do is to give 10%. And you know how you do that? You have a perspective shift. Your priorities shift. you say God is number one. Everything else pales in comparison. Moms and dads, you say, I'm going to give to God first, and you let your kids see that. Kids and students that are here, you start to be so countercultural in your school by giving to God. When everybody else is hoarding and looking out for number one and comparing what they've got with everyone else, what if you were the student that said, I'm going to be the one who gives? That's radical. That's sacrifice. That's Jesus. What if all of us made that commitment? Man, that would be amazing. It would be so cool if God was our number one priority. You know, that's my heart for you guys. We want you guys to be able to step through this thing and to have some practical help. And I've talked with some of you, and some of you, 10% is just so difficult, and you can't imagine how to get there. And I'm going to talk more about that. I'm going to help you if you want. I'm going to help you make God a priority and look at things from a different perspective. Most of us, we kind of live like this. This is the normal flow of things, that being at the top, our number one priority, and then the bottom being the thing that we say we believe in. But by default, if your giving is at the bottom, it's not sacrifice. It's sacrifice when we take our giving and we move it to the top. That's what God is asking us to do. And not worry about how all the rest of the stuff is going to get taken care of, but to just say, God, you're number one. And take our giving, take our 10%, take our faith decision to be obedient to God and say the first thing at the beginning of the month is not the roof over our head. It's not the utilities. It's not Starbucks every 3.5 minutes. That's not what it is, which that's a luxury. That's something that we all have. We don't need those things. And if we look at those types of things and go, man, that's a lot to sacrifice. And I know that some people, it's different stuff. It's loans and it's some debt. And I know that some of us are in pain, but I'm telling you, this is God's plan, not mine, is to make him number one and make a sacrifice and be obedient to him. And that he takes care of the rest. Give God the first and the best, and he will take care of the rest. That's the way God operates. So what he's asking all of us to do is to move our giving to the top. That's a sacrifice. That's it. God, first check, first amount I'm giving to God because you are my number one priority. And you've blessed me with so much that I'm going to give to you. You know, the thing about giving you perspective, you guys, on the 4% and you going, you know what, I really do, because when I share that with people, a lot of people go, wow, I have more than I realized. And a lot of time that kind of opens up, you know, kind of loosens you up to give more. And you're like, okay, I got to trust God more. It's right. He's already blessed me. Here's the thing about that is that's a starting point for some of us, because the Bible actually teaches that even if you have very little, that you're supposed to trust God with everything. And some of the greatest pictures of faith in the scriptures are people that just didn't have much and they still were faithful to God and gave to God because their heart was, God, you're the top for me. You're most important to me. So it's really kind of a process, right? Where we have the luxury of getting new perspective and seeing what we have differently and then making God a priority. But the challenge is God your priority, period, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the surroundings that you have? God's plan for every single one of us is that we would fully depend upon him in every single way. And so as you make giving your number one priority and that thereby honor God and thereby worship God and thereby experience the joy that comes from trusting God and all the things, the commitment, the first, the best, to get to the top, to say, yes, God, you're number one, then what happens is for most of us, the mortgage is still going to be paid. The living expenses are still going to be there, and you might have to cut some things out. And then you're going to start to look at luxuries. And this is a conversation that can just go on and on and on and on and on. What is a luxury? You know, when my wife and I made giving a number one priority, and we've always done that, but as we went into the season, we said, you know what? We need to really make sure that giving and that we don't take away from giving the first and the best. So we just continued to do that. And as we looked at the numbers, we went, you know what? Let's not get cable. That hurts. That hurts a little. It hurts. Like yesterday when I'm watching football and I don't have cable, I wanted to throw something against the wall. But like, it's not the end of the world. And not having that in that moment is small compared to the joy of doing what God has asked me to do and making him a number one priority. Because basically, I just steal my password from my father-in-law for Time Warner and watch it through Apple TV anyway. And one of the things you can do is start to borrow things instead of buy things. You know what I mean? Start to share. Start to look at things differently. This is a process that we all have to go through, but this is the bottom line. Give first, give the best. God will take care of the rest. It's his promise. He's not going to leave you out in the cold. He's not going to, he is going to bless you beyond what you can fathom. He's just going, do you trust me and do you love me and am I your number one priority? That's a question everybody has to wrestle with. You know, we brought some of you together several months ago, and we called you stakeholders because we wanted you to go on this journey first. That's what a stakeholder is. They go out in front, boom, they stake a claim. I went first. And so we gathered a bunch of you several months ago to be the forerunners for We Can't. And one of the reasons that we did that was so that you could experience what those people went through, because their story is going to help your story. Because what they have gone through in trusting God financially and in a new way is going to somehow speak to you and show you that you can trust God, that you can have a story. And so I'm going to share with you a video from the night that we brought all of our stakeholders together. We had a time of worship. We had a time of prayer. And then everyone made their commitment. Everyone made their We Can't commitment that night. And after they made their commitments, we all had some time together and just hung out. But we had a video booth, and we had some people go into that video booth and tell their story. And so as you guys are watching this, I want to ask you to pray and ask God what he's trying to tell you. And ask God what he's saying to you. What is your story? What is the story that you are supposed to tell that includes all these pieces we've talked about? And how great will it be when you take these steps and then you actually get to share that story and help other people go on their journey too? So let's watch this together.
I'm bought in, my wife is bought in, and our children are bought in because we wholeheartedly believe in the vision that Joel has to reach the lost, to keep the message geared towards a 17-year-old, and we believe in it, and we've seen it in action, and so we're committed and we're bought in.
My name's Kenny Sipes, and my wife and I, Lori, have four kids, and we started coming in January 2014. And we came to kind of check it off the list and never come back again, and we never left. And I would say the reason we're so committed and we want to stay, I would say, you know, having been a pastor for a long time, my wife was refreshed at 514 in a way that she needed, and that kind of really really motivated, inspired family. And I mean, we all loved it. We were all connected. You know, all my kids are serving. So yeah, we just love it because we belong.
Yeah. Hi, we're Andrew and Chelsea White, and we've been going to 514 for about a year and a half now.
Yeah, we started coming here. We have family in Tennessee and in Maryland, so we have no family here in Central Ohio. This church has provided us with an awesome small group that is our family. We had an opportunity to move for a job, and we ended up staying because we have such a great family. We can't, you know, we're happy with it, and we want to give back to our family, give back to God, and can't wait to see what happens. So.
We love being here, and we believe in the vision of Joel, the leadership team. Want to raise our family through this church, and just are really excited to see where things go.
We just believe and stand behind everything that this church is doing.
We've been given 10% basically our whole lives. That's just an easy part, and we just see giving as just giving back to God for what He has blessed us with. He's given us life, and frankly, He doesn't even need our money. But you know, this is really truly a heart deal, and we're just giving this with our heart. We're giving additional to just open up the floodgates of heaven, just to 514 Church, and just see what the amazing things He can do in our life. And that's why we're giving. We're just giving just fully to the vision and the mission of 514 Church, and we're excited to see what God's going to do through it.
Where your treasure is where your heart is. Where your treasure is where your heart is. What that means is, what's most valuable to you, what's most precious to you, should be the exact same thing that matters to God.
I'm Sarah Whaley, and I have been at 514 for a year and a half, or a little more. And gosh, there's a gazillion reasons. I super believe in Joel and his heart, and we'd never tithed 10% in our life. And when he talked about just being faithful with our money and how we were like clinging to it, we started tithing 10%, and God has been super faithful in it. And then seeing how it's changed my son's life and how much he believes it's his home, it's just, those are probably the main reasons.
So I'm Ryan Donovan.
And I'm Jessica Donovan.
And we have been, I've been a part of the church for 4.5 years now.
And I've been coming for about 3 years. We are really excited about seeing life change going on with my college-age girls, the students at 514, and, you know, just being married 3 weeks, we already know how hard it is to be married, and I can't imagine any young adult couple going through a marriage without God's help. I don't know how people do that, and so we wanna give to this campaign so that other people can just experience God like we have.
You know, one of the things I'm most excited about with this giving campaign and giving over the next 2 years and some of the sacrifices that we're making is the fact that we are together making a decision to trust God, and we are starting this marriage and our relationship off. And we now we've put ourselves in the position very intentionally to see what happens when we trust God financially, and I'm excited for the next 2 years to see how that affects our life and our marriage.
My husband and I have been attending this church for 5 years, and to go back just a little bit, my dad left when I was one, and so I grew up in a single parent home, no brothers and sisters. And I took on the burden of worry and fear, and it's something I've struggled with most of my adult life. And coming to church at 514, through Joel's messages and my small group support, I have learned to develop this strong relationship with Christ, and He has helped me conquer that. And when we decided what we were going to give, Roy and I talked about it, and we started with a plan A and a plan B. Because what we helped my mom financially, and we have a daughter in college, and they weren't giving us as much this year. And one night Roy said, "Lori, we need to talk about this." And we prayed, and we said, "There is no plan B. We're going with plan A because yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not here yet. We have to live through today, and it's God's anyway. And so we're going with plan A regardless of circumstance." And what I realized is, the journey that I took coming to this decision was more important than tonight's destination, because it was about my faith and growing in faith and conquering worry. And even though my earthly father wasn't there, I have this amazing relationship with my heavenly father. And that's what it's about.
For every person, it's going to be different. It's going to feel different, the journey that you go on. For Lori, it's that faith, that trusting God, and that relationship with her heavenly father, and anxiety, you know, working its way in and out of her life through trusting God in a new way. And for all these people, they all made commitments. They all wrote down on the card that you're sitting on or that you grabbed when you came in, they wrote down, here's what I'm committing, based upon all of the same things. And so I'm going to share with you guys our first results that we have got from people committing to this church. And what I mean by that is I just want to share with you three scenarios of people and what they've started with and where they ended up as a result of We Can. It's just so exciting. There's one family in our church who up until this point for 2 years gave $5,600 over a two-year period. And for We Can't, they committed $20,000. That's four times the amount. This is God, like, shifting people through faith, through obedience, through making him a priority. Four times the amount. There's another one of a family that gave $800 over a two-year period. And for We Can't, they committed $24,000. That's 30 times the amount. Come on. I mean, does that not like excite you guys? Like, whatever the total is, it's that amount of trusting God. And just one more, it's really cool. There's a family or a person that gave $6,000 year to date. And through We Can't, they made a 21 times increase, and they committed $130,000 to We Can't. Is that incredible? That is three stories of people going, I can't, but God can. God, I'm going to let you take me on this journey. And that's going to show here. This is a personal journey for every single one of you. And if I was sitting down with every single one of you, and some of you I have, and a lot of you I still will do that to go through this process. But one of the things I did as I sat down with these stakeholders is I did this, and I'm going to do it with you right now. This right here is just it's the number of people that we need to give some specific amounts in order for us to reach our goal so that we can build our new home. But it's really more about an individual journey and a process that you're going to go on when you look at these numbers. And so here's what I'm going to take you through that I took everyone else through. I've challenged everyone to trust God and to be obedient with 10%. And so many of us, that 10% number is just so big, and it's so beyond where we've been or what we're comfortable with, that getting to that number truly is a We Can't number. So I want to talk to you that are trying to get to that 10% first. I just want to give you a scenario. These numbers represent your total amount that you could commit over 2 years. So some of you in here, you may have given $4,000 a year. You say, you know, my regular giving is $4,000. And for you, 10% might mean $5,000 a year. And that might feel like a huge stretch, and maybe you're already stretching. And so if you went to your 10% being $5,000 a year, then your commitment that you would write down would be $10,000, your total amount for 2 years, based upon a 10% commitment, a big step of faith. Now, for some of you, $10,000, maybe you've given $1,000 a year, and you've just never, you're just like, wow, you know what? We can definitely give 10%. Man, $5,000 two times, you know, for over 2 years, we could definitely do that. We could commit to 10,000. And you go, you know, 10%, that would be it. That would be our 10% right here is this. But you might look at that number and go, we can do that. We can do $10,000 over 2 years. And here is my challenge to you. If you're 10%, or even if getting to 10% is something that is comfortable to you, if you look at a number that's your 10% and you say, that is comfortable, and it comes to these words come to mind, I can do that. We can do that. Then I am going to challenge you to pray two steps above that. Because my goal in this for every single one of you is not to pray an I can comfortable prayer. It's if you look at $10,000 and you go, oh, I got that. And then I say, well, what about this number? Pray about this number. And you go, ooh, man, I'm going to really have to pray about that. Then here is my request to you, no matter where you are in all these scenarios, is that you will this week out loud pray this prayer. God, I can't. Or if you're married, we can't give $25,000. But God, we want to pray a prayer that's bigger than us. We want to step out in faith. We want to take a step on the water. We want to be obedient. Whatever you're asking us to do, God, we want you to lead us. And all I ask is that I ask that you pray a we can't prayer. I ask that you have a prayer time where you go to God in desperation and say, God, stretch me. Because that alone is the win for you to trust God in a new way, to walk out on water, to do something by faith that you've never done before. And if your comfortable number is $10,000 and your uncomfortable we can't number is $25,000, and you pray about it, I'm not saying that if you pray about it that you're committing to that. I'm just saying that you prayed about it, that you prayed through that. And then whatever God leads you to, maybe he leads you right back to $10,000. That's what we're going. We're going to give 10%. We feel confident. We have peace about that. Maybe he leads you to 15. Maybe it's somewhere in there. But I want everybody to go on this journey. This is where we all come together and trust God in a new way. For some people, and I do it the same, it's not about the amount. For some people, you guys, there's a comfortable number, 75,000, we can do that. It's just, we can't. And I say, you need to pray about 250. And they go, whoa, man, that's a big prayer. And some people have come right back to that 10% number. And some people have gone, you know what, we prayed and we went above and God spoke to us and we're going to do some more because we really want to trust God. That's the process I want everyone to go through. The target's 10%. If 10% is so big for you, and I just want to give just some peace and just a hug to everybody. If 10%, you know, if you're 10%, let's say your 10% is $50,000 over 2 years. And you just see that and you're going, man, like, oh, man, we've only ever given 1% or 2%. I believe that if you jump and you trust God, and maybe you don't even get to 10%, but if that amount that you jump causes you to trust God, it's a faith jump. It's not dependence. It's not a we can jump. It's a we can't jump. That I believe that God is going to honor that. But I don't believe that that's the end of it for you. I believe if you go from 1% or 2% to 7%, that God's going to honor that in your life. But I believe that he is trying to get all of us to that 10% number to trust him. And for some of us, he's going to say, you've been obedient, but I want to challenge you to give more. Maybe you have more resources and maybe you can give more. And that's a special scenario depending on who you are. But that's the journey that I want everyone to go on. This is not a fundraiser where I just stand up here and I say, I need seven people. Who is going to be my seven $75,000 people? This is just a conversation between you and God, looking at what he's given you, making him a priority, making him best, being obedient and sacrificing, and then starting from there. That's the process that everybody needs to go through. Next week, you're going to fill out this card. So you have it with you. You can take it home. This can be a part of your prayer. But I want to just take you through this very, very briefly. This is so that we can see the individual journeys that you've gone on. Some of us, this is what I normally give in a year. For some of us in here, that would be zero. And then through this process, you're going, you know what? Now I'm going to give $500 for 1 year, and I'm going to do that for 2 years. So that's $1,000. And right here, this is called a stored resource gift. So some of you have some stocks and some bonds or some savings, or maybe you can have a bunch of shoes or, I don't know, a 57 Chevy. You want to do a garage sale and sell it and make $30, like whatever it is, and you could add that here. But here's what's most important. What's most important is whatever you started off with, whatever your additional is, wherever you get, if it's that 10%, if it's above that 10%, whatever the total amount is for 2 years, goes right here in this corner, and then you got to sign and date this, and I'll take you through that next week. But this is the most important part of that card. If you're going to give $5,000 a year, then this would say $10,000. You write that down and sign it. What's most important is your total for 2 years in the bottom right-hand corner. And your total for 2 years, and I'll remind you of this next week, is something that you can take 2 years to give. So for a lot of us, we have a steadier income, and we're going to give and take our 24 months and say, here's what I'm going to give over 24 months, 10% over 24 months. And then that total would go in that bottom right-hand corner. But for some of us, we work on commission, we work on bonuses, we have stock options, and your total amount might be X, and it might come in mostly in the second year of this commitment. And that's fine too, as long as your total commitment comes in during the two-year period, and that period will start December of this year. And so you have some time, and I'll talk a little bit more about that next week. You guys, this is it. This is it's the financial talk, and it gets a little awkward, and now we're talking about numbers, and whoa, that's my business, man, not yours. This is where it all matters. This is where what God has led in your heart, it ends up in what you write down and what you commit to. And so could it be that every person at 514 Church, after this series, makes God their number one priority financially? And if that happens, what could we do to continue to share the gospel, to create a dynamic worship experience for all ages, to see life change, see other people sit in the chairs that you're sitting in now? That's the purpose. That's God's plan. I want to take a minute and pray for you guys. God, thank you for everyone in this room for sitting through and learning and being stretched and being challenged. I pray that as they trust you in a new way, God, that they would fall in love with you deeper, that they would experience you and your provision in a new and fresh way. I pray that every person right now that is struggling with this, God, you just soften their heart, that they would just know right now that it's time to make you a number one priority, and that it's supposed to show in our finances. I pray you give them the courage, the faith, the obedience, the sacrifice to step out and do it. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.